This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I am really excited to be joined by our next guest. He is a writer with The Athletic. He also is the host of the Sports Media Podcast. There are so many things that I want to talk to him about. Let's head to the phone lines right now and be joined by Richard Deitch of The Athletic. Richard, happy to have you join us on the show today.
Yeah, we'll see if you're excited after the segment, but I appreciate the invite. Good to be here.
Absolutely. Let's start with this. So there are two things that I'm going to remember most from the Tyson and Jake Paul fight, and they're all kind of related to my mom. Number one is my mom's a little bit younger than Mike Tyson, and she had so much enthusiasm that Mike still had a little bit of magic left. And he didn't have any of that magic left. And I also saw her frustration as the stream just repeatedly did not work. What was your experience like on Friday night?
Well, first, your mom seems like somebody would be cool to hang out with. So shout out to her. Well, listen, my experience was like many people who were watching Netflix or trying to watch Netflix. I had buffering and streaming issues. Throughout, I was watching from Toronto, which is where I'm based now. And, you know, internationally, same issues that people had in the States. You know, the fight itself, it's more, certainly more spectacle, or as Netflix uses the phrase, sports adjacent than anything else. But they made it available to all subscribers. So you knew that they were going to get a ton of tune in. But again, this is now the second time that Netflix has had a pretty significant event where they've had significant tech issues. And why this is interesting to me and people who do what I do is because, of course, the NFL is coming up with Netflix on Christmas Day. And, you know, the sort of intrinsic agreement that the NFL, I mean, if, quite frankly, any pro sports team makes with its consumers is that, yeah, you might not like the broadcasters. You might not like the result of the game, but the game's going to be there and the game's going to be pristine and you're not going to have any issues watching this game. So that's where it becomes a sort of an interesting scenario in a couple of weeks is Netflix cannot have this repeated. I don't expect them to, but man, can you imagine the outcry from NFL fans, especially those in, you know, we'll say like Kansas City or where, you know, the other team, Pittsburgh, the other teams that are playing, if somehow, you know, you missed like 2 minutes of a game because of buffering issues. I mean, you want to talk about a firestorm on social media. That would set it off.
What's so confusing to me about it, Richard, is, and maybe you talk to people that are in the market, is, I mean, I have YouTube TV. I never have this problem. Amazon, I think, has handled Thursday Night Football really well. I was really proud of Peacock's works during the Olympics. They do a really good job with Big Ten games. But you're right. For Netflix to be so early to streaming, you mentioned them multiple times. This was a problem for even some of their live events for a reality show that doesn't have nearly the interest to it. And then they struggled so poorly with this.
Yeah, Love is Blind in 2023, not a show I watched, by the way, but they had a significant issues when it came to a reunion show to the point where they had to essentially cancel it and then, you know, replay it or I guess make it available to people later on. You know, from my understanding is it is very, I'm not saying Netflix is psych here, but it is very hard to duplicate 50-60 million people streaming something at the same time. It's very hard to test for this because it doesn't happen. That said, you have to anticipate, I think, if you're a company like that,
the kind of global demand that's going to come from someone as famous as Mike Tyson, and then, you know, in the influencer world, someone as famous as Jake Paul. So I would think that diagnostically, and again, you know, I'm not a tech person, but I would think they will do everything in their power so that we don't get a repeat of this. But the fact that it even occurred for the Tyson-Paul fight, I think Netflix has, I think you as a consumer have every right to criticize them, because you've nailed it. In terms of proof of concept, Amazon has no issues when it comes to this stuff in the NFL. Like you, I watched the Olympics almost exclusively on Peacock. No issues at all. Quite frankly, the opposite. It was just an incredible experience as a consumer. You know, whether you watch the Premier League or college sport, you know, you don't see this on ESPN Plus. They don't, you know, there's not streaming issues unless the issues happen locally with your own carrier. So again, I don't expect it to happen, but man, if this does happen with one of those NFL games, that's a very, very big deal. And then I think if you're the NFL, you start to wonder, you know, do we really want to, do we really want to put our showcase games on this network, or on the streamer, I should say.
And right now we're talking to Richard Deitch. He is the host of the Sports Media Podcast, talking about Netflix. The Chiefs play the Steelers on Netflix. We'll also get his thoughts about baseball and what they're going to do from a television perspective. Last couple of things here on Netflix. You know what they say, like, you only get one time to make a first impression. That it just left such a sour taste in people's mouths. Like, I don't know how you, the consumer, can be confident that Netflix can handle the NFL on Christmas. Like, that's going to be a big day. Everybody's at home. You know, you got four marquee teams. Beyonce's doing halftime for one of these things. Like, they're going to have a lot of volume, a lot of traffic. Like, they have never handled these situations well. It's going to be one of those seeing is believing things. And you're right, at the first sign of any problems that pop up here in 5-6 weeks, people are going to jump all over Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is on this one, they have no margin for error. Like, it has to be perfect in terms of the streaming. Again, you may not like the announcers. CBS announcers are doing the game. NFL Network announcers are doing the pre-post and half, but the streaming and buffering issues cannot happen on this. It's just, and I am sure Netflix knows this, and I would think, again, with a company at that kind of market cap, you know, they understand sort of what's at stake. Again, they have obviously a gigantic library. They've had major hits where they've had crazy numbers of streaming. You know, Squid Game is a perfect example of that. But this is live, and people are unforgiving when there are issues when it comes to live, particularly sports fans. So there's a lot on the line. Again, you know, I have people sort of who I respect to say, let's say even if it happened again, it's not like the NFL wants to walk away from Netflix's money. And that's probably true. I mean, you know, all these leagues want Apple and Netflix and Amazon and any massive streamer to be part of their world, because ultimately it funds them through rights deals. But the NFL, again, and I think both of us agree on this, it's the most dominant sport in the country. And historically, the one thing that you know as an NFL fan, because so many of these games have traditionally been on over-the-air television, is that you're going to be able to watch it. It's not, you know, the screen isn't going dark because of some tech issue. So I'm with you. I think it's a very, very big deal for Netflix. And if they are serious or have serious ambitions about making live sports part of their portfolio heading forward, they cannot screw this one up. They have to have a clean broadcast.
I want to get your thoughts on the baseball contract as we are heading towards 2028, when it seems like all of the rights deals are going to be up. We'll see if ESPN is still fully invested in baseball. I'm honestly not sure if they're going to be. I understand from an inventory standpoint why ESPN would want to be in the baseball world, but ESPN has really embraced debate, and they don't really talk about baseball on those shows. So why should we spend a lot of money for something that isn't really generating content elsewhere? I could see them moving away from that model. I also want to see Major League Baseball go more towards the Sunday ticket. I understand it's going to be different, but is there a world in which baseball can get everybody to sign on to a deal where the Yankees, the Cubs, the Royals, all of these teams, they all agree to sell their streaming rights to one or two platforms, and then fans can consume the sport that way?
Yeah, so I'm a skeptic here, and you know, I give a shout out to my colleague Evan Drellich, who wrote a really good piece on The Athletic that sort of, you know, was a pretty good primer explaining all this. Certainly understands it better than me. I'm a skeptic on this because, as someone who lived in New York for 20 years, I find it very hard that the Yankees and the Mets would give up their revenue when it comes to the YES Network and SNY. Now, Rob Manfred is going to try to sell them on the fact that if we can get all our inventory under one roof, ultimately it will pay off for everybody long term. Maybe he's right, but you are asking, you are making a big ask if you're the owners of the Yankees, the owners of the Mets, the owners of the Dodgers in particular, to walk away from these lucrative deals that have not only made them money, but it's essentially almost guaranteed them the playoffs all the time. Now, I get why, like, the Cardinals or the Royals or the Diamondbacks, you know, sort of name your mid-market kind of teams, why they would want all this, you know, why they'd want essentially an NFL model, like you're talking about with Sunday Ticket. So I am a big, big skeptic. If you want to play the optimism role in terms of if you're looking at Major League Baseball, you're correct. I think two-thirds, if I'm right about this, of MLB's 30 teams have their rights available come 2028. So they would be setting, you know, already, they'd be sitting with basically 23, 24 teams to start with, and then they'd have to try to convince the big teams to go along. To answer your ESPN question, I think ESPN has told you over the last couple of years that their interest in baseball is diminishing, although I don't know if they want to be totally out, because I think you could probably, if you're ESPN, get some kind of pretty inexpensive deal just to sort of maintain your baseball inventory, where, you know, you still get highlight packages and maybe, you know, you occasionally do a game or stuff. But what Manfred wants to do ultimately is what the NBA just did. I think he would like to get 5, 4, 6 different entities to take parts of this package. That would mean that he needs to get Netflix, Amazon, Apple, you know, it won't be Google, but, you know, those kind of streaming kind of companies. And then obviously figure out between the Foxes and the Warner Brothers Discoveries and ESPNs and, you know, whatever sort of Comcast/NBC is, you know, get some biting from them as well. And then you sell it to multiple different companies. That's your way to really increase your overall rights package. You get more money for the smaller market teams. It's not consumer friendly at all, because, again, if you're a diehard baseball fan, what that ultimately means to me is you're going to have to buy multiple streaming packages to watch all this stuff. So I don't think this will be a great deal for consumers, but I understand what Manfred's trying to do. Baseball's been a mess when it comes to the RSN and it comes to local coverage. And if you can get all the inventory under your house, then you got a lot of options in terms of nationalizing your product.
I know that Rob Manfred has made mistakes as the commissioner of the team, but if he can fix this, I mean, his legacy is going to be the pitch clock. And I know that old school baseball heads push back on the pitch clock. It was absolutely the right decision for the game. It has made baseball more enjoyable in the regular season, and it has brought new fans, I think, into the sport, or at least keeps people's attention better than it was. And if he can also solve their television problems, you mentioned the regional sports networks. If you can get rid of that problem and also solve local blackouts, that will ultimately be his legacy in my mind.
Yeah, pitch clock's phenomenal. I would say it game-changed everything in terms of just the content play. It's made the game much more accessible for television and people who watch it, you know, away from the ballpark. I'd actually say it's a better ballpark experience, too, just because the game is then quicker. So that's certainly going to be one of his legacies. I'd imagine, you know, as he sort of continues on with refining the game, you know, some kind of, you know, use the phrase robot umpires, but, you know, some kind of computerized calling, I think will be part of his game, will be part of his legacy as well, because I think that's going to be coming to using technology to make calls in the next couple of years. And then, like you said, yeah, if he can get the broadcasting component semi-fixed, I think he'll walk away with, you know, a pretty good legacy. Again, legacy within baseball, for sure. The only thing when it comes to commissioners, you know, most commissioners, generally speaking, are not beloved by fans. And what usually happens with this stuff, like the one thing, yeah, I hate to say, but the one thing you could always bet on is ultimately the consumer is going to pay more for sports. So Manfred may be able to pull this off. But again, I would just, for anybody listening, your audience, if you are a diehard baseball fan, the likelihood is that you are going to have 3 or 4, I'd say minimum, streaming services to watch all of these games. Now, again, a lot of people, you know, particularly men under the age of 40, they have discretionary income and they're willing to pay for it. But in many ways, sports heading forward, particularly in the 2030s, it's kind of going to be an upper middle class play. You're going to have to spend some money in order to watch this stuff.
That is Richard Deitch joining us on the show. He does fantastic work with The Athletic. He also is the host of the Sports Media Podcast. Be sure to check it out if this kind of stuff interests you. Richard, man, it was an honor to have you join us today. I got a lot of respect for you and your reporting. It was great to have you join us today.
Thank you. I mean, I'll send the check in the mail. It's a good hype job. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I appreciate it. That's Richard Deitch joining us on the show today. Really good stuff for him. This is the message that I think Rob Manfred needs to communicate to all of the baseball owners. You just heard it there from Richard Deitch. I don't think they're going to have a problem getting 23 to 24 teams to sign up for this idea. Why would the Royals be against this idea? The Royals don't have a Yes Network. The Royals don't have Nesson. The Royals don't have their own local television deal that they're just making all this money from. Why would the Royals not sign up for this? Why would the Cardinals not sign up for this? It's not going to be hard to get about two-thirds of the league, maybe more, to agree to sell their television rights to Major League Baseball. They're going to have a really tough time with eight teams. And those are the eight most popular teams. Why would the Dodgers sign up for this? We don't need to do this. The Dodgers are the most popular team in Los Angeles. More popular than the football team, more popular than the basketball team. Why should we sell our local television rights to you guys? And why? We have a system right now where we get to keep all of this money and we give the Royals just a little bit of money. Why would we now put it in the pot and split this evenly 30 ways? Why would we sign up for this? Why would the Yankees sign up for this? Why would the Red Sox sign up for this? Why would the Cubs sign up for this deal? So that's where the really hard work is going to be. I'm not here excusing everything that Rob Manfred has done as the commissioner of Major League Baseball. He certainly has made some mistakes. He mishandled the Astros situation. He has done some other things wrong. But if you were telling me that the two things that we will be able to say at the end of Rob Manfred's time as the commissioner of Major League Baseball is you sped up baseball games with the pitch clock and you fix their television issue, you will go down as an all-time commissioner and you should be beloved by fans because you fixed two of the biggest issues. They have made it really, really difficult to watch Major League Baseball games. It's not available on streaming in 2024. For those of you like me and you have YouTube TV or maybe you have Hulu Live or you have Sling or whatever you get your television from, can you imagine if the Chiefs games didn't come on YouTube TV? That's what baseball is right now. How are you not in agreement with one of the major streaming television services? It makes absolutely no sense. If you were telling me that over the next 4 years, the only thing that he does as commissioner is untangle the web that they have created with their television product, he will be an A-plus success as the commissioner of Major League Baseball. They have to do this to grow their sport. They have to get the people in power at baseball to understand what the NFL understands and what college football understands, is that the rising tide lifts all boats. If we go in on this, all of us can win. And sure, we're all going to win differently. No one thinks that the Yankees and the Royals are still going to be on the same level in 2040. No one thinks that. But in the NFL, you have convinced the Cowboys to do what's in the best interest also of Green Bay. You have convinced the Giants to do what's in the best interest of Jacksonville. That's not what happens in Major League Baseball. In college football, you have convinced Ohio State to do what's in the best interest of Rutgers. You have convinced Alabama to do what's in the best interest of Mississippi State. Baseball does not have that system. If they could come together this one time on this one thing, television, they will put themselves in a much better position moving forward with fans.
So I agree with you wholeheartedly, but I think what Richard Deitch said at the end there, and I cut it, and we can play it, I think was a little bit chilling to hear for me, where he said, if baseball's able to get it done, that's great, but at the end of the day, the consumer is going to have to pay more, and that's kind of how the future of sports looks. And I think there is a worry that that is correct. Let's look across the landscape beyond just baseball. Let's say baseball gets it done, and he said if baseball were to get it done, albeit he's a skeptic, it would probably be like the NFL. It would be available on multiple platforms, da da da. But the consumer would need multiple streaming services to take part in sports in the future. Just think right now. The NFL is on YouTube TV. That's what I have. That's what you have. It's right there, CBS, Fox, whatever. it also has a weekly game on Amazon. You need a Prime subscription to get that. So that's one subscription service. Two subscription services if you have YouTube TV. If you want the Red Zone channel, it's another subscription service. I'm betting another playoff game ends up on a Peacock or a Paramount. You will need a subscription for one of those things. We have the NFL coming to Netflix. I don't think Netflix is going to dip their toe in the water and then quit immediately. Now, maybe if it's a disaster like it was the Paul fight, but I doubt that. So now I haven't even left pro football, and I'm at six streaming services required. Let's say that baseball sells a large portion of their inventory to Apple TV. I'm now at seven subscription services. That is not cheaper or better than old cable. So I know if it got done, we'd all celebrate Manfred, and he should be celebrated for that. But I think beyond just Manfred, what Deitch said there is correct. The future of sports is you have to have multiple streaming networks or streaming platforms just to watch it. I never got to college sports. I never mentioned ESPN Plus, which houses most of my college basketball games. It is the future is all streaming, and I don't know that's better for the consumer.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I just think that the cart is too far down the road now. They are not going back on what they've done. And I think the positive here, and I'll give baseball a little bit here, is I think it's going to be on the same streaming services that you're already paying for because of the NFL, right? Like, they're going to be on the exact same streaming. They're not new. They're not doing a deal with one you haven't heard of before. They're doing it with Netflix. They're doing it with Amazon. They're doing it with Apple TV. So if you are that big of an NFL fan, they're going to put you on the same deals. We just saw the NBA make a very similar deal. They went to Amazon, they went to NBC, they went to Peacock, they went to the same similar streaming platforms. I think that could be the positive in all of this. Someone sent this in about Netflix. CDOT, I'm a developer, and I can confidently tell you that if Netflix knows what the issue is, and I'm sure they do, the problem won't be repeated. I'm sorry, Netflix has no credibility with me on this issue. They have no credibility with me. I don't disagree with you. Well, if they know what the problem is, they would fix it. Yeah, I'm with you. They tried their first ever live streaming show. It was the reunion show for Love is Blind a few years ago. It was a disaster. They couldn't broadcast it. They then had their biggest live event. Netflix is the one that wants to dive deep into live streaming services. And live. That's not what any of us want Netflix to be. You know what I want Netflix to be? I really want to watch this movie. I want it to be on Netflix. Keep making crime documentaries. That's what we want Netflix to be. They want to be in the live streaming event, sports, WWE. They want to grow, and that's perfectly fine. Netflix has given me no reason to believe that they can execute it. They couldn't execute it back in 2022 for Love is Blind. They couldn't execute it on Friday. So we can all say, oh, well, they'll get it right for the NFL. Okay. All right. I mean, if you guys think they'll get it right, I don't believe they're going to get it right. They didn't get it right Friday. They didn't get it right a couple of years ago. They're going to fix that. They had a serious problem. It wasn't just like a little. They had a massive problem. They're fixing that massive problem in 5 weeks. Okay. All right, we'll see. I don't trust Netflix anymore to do live sporting events. I mean, I'll turn it on. I'll try it. I'll watch it. But it's bad when for months you've been telling me to tune in to Jake Paul and Mike Tyson on Netflix, and I had to pull up the illegal stream, and the illegal stream was running better than your real stream. That's not good.
You mentioned the toothpaste out of the tube for streaming. Does another massive failure on Christmas Day for Netflix maybe set this course in reverse? Like, the situation I laid out about, it's going to be all streaming in the future, not being better. If Netflix fumbles the bag for the NFL, who is the leader in the television sphere, if they start to, you know, backpedal, does that maybe change the future? So in a way, could a Netflix failure actually be good because it slows down the streaming future?
No, it's way too much money over there. Way too much money over there. You know how big of a company Netflix is? Like, I'm not even asking like in a condescending way. Do you know what their net worth is? I looked this up over the week. Do you know what Netflix's net worth is as a company?
It's got to be at least a billion, or you wouldn't ask.
It's $372 billion is what their market cap or net worth is. That was of yesterday.
Well, that's probably going to keep going up.
So I'm saying is it's almost a $400 billion. You think that the NFL's walking away from that money? They don't care if it works or not. Sure. What are you going to do? Complain? Are you canceling Netflix because the NFL doesn't work? Rob, you and I have had Netflix for a decade. No, I'm not canceling it. In fact, you know what? I'm going to let you guys sell me that movie you got with Jamie Foxx and Ryan Gosling coming up. Can't wait to watch. No, no. The NFL, they know. They got us. They got us. They always get us. They got you signed up for Peacock and all kind of nonsense. That's what the NFL does. They take advantage of us. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit of college football. The college football rankings are out. We only have two more weeks left in the regular season in college football. And boy, I'm not confident. The committee, they're going to blow this thing, aren't they? Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right. Rob and I are on two very different sides of an argument. Let's start with number one. Now, I know that some of you are very excited about the college football playoff, and I'm excited about it too. It's new. It's different. I want to see how it works. I want to see if we like it, if we don't like it. It's more teams in the mix. I get it. You guys know I was hesitant, but you know what? I'm coming around. But we really created a system where we're going to trust the humans to get it right. Because I know a lot of humans. They mess things up pretty routinely. In fact, that is human beings' favorite thing to do. Mess things up. So this is the situation. And Rob is going to explain it to you in a way that makes sense, but also doesn't make sense. So every week, they give you the projections of what the playoff bracket is going to look like. Right now, they have Boise State as the 4 seed. That means Boise State would get a bye. Now, Boise State is a good team. And if you're telling me that Boise State is worthy at a seat of the table, or we just don't want it to be where it's all Big Ten and all SEC schools, and we're going to save one spot for one of these group of five schools, that's more than fair to me. Plenty of years we all wanted Boise State or one of these, you know, Northern Illinois to have a seat at the table. So I don't have any problem. But a 4 seed? You guys are going to tell me you think that Boise State's better than Ohio State. You're going to tell me right now that you think that Boise State's better than Georgia or Boise State's better than Alabama. They have created a system in which Boise State could be ranked 4th. It's wrong. Fix it. Change it. There is no world, there is no scenario in which Boise State is one of the 4 best teams in college football. I don't even have to go through their wins. They're not. So let's fix it, okay? I don't want to get too mad about it. Maybe things will correct itself. But as of right now, they have Boise State in the 4 spot. They shouldn't be. Now, the other thing that Rob and I disagree about is what's going to happen to Indiana. Now, I understand on the surface, if you are a Big Ten team and you go potentially 11-1, you should probably be in the college football playoff. Can I read to you guys the wins that Indiana has this year? Because is it more that we think Indiana is good, or did Indiana win the schedule lottery this year, and that's not what the college football playoff should reward? These are their wins this season. I'm not going to skip a single team. Florida International, Western Illinois, at UCLA, Charlotte, Maryland, at Northwestern, Nebraska, Washington, at Michigan State, Michigan. College football fans, I'm going to ask you a very serious question here. Who's the best team that Indiana's beat this year? Who is it? Is it Northwestern? Is it Washington? Who's the best team that Indiana's beat this year? Now, no disrespect to Indiana. They're 10-0. They deserve all the accolades. But if they lose to Ohio State and then they beat Purdue, and we are looking at a year in which Indiana was at best the third best team in the Big Ten, but you got the schedule where you didn't have to play a single other good team, and the one good team that you played, you lost to, then what are we doing here? I'm looking at the Big Ten standings, folks. Indiana was able to avoid all of the good teams. Oregon's the best team in the Big Ten. Indiana didn't play them. Indiana didn't play Penn State, didn't play Iowa, didn't play Minnesota, didn't play Illinois. You didn't play any of the top six teams in the Big Ten, yet you get to go to the college football playoff. No, we can't reward that. Come on now. We got to set some standards here. You got to play people, or at least make an attempt to in the non-con. Yes, you can't control your regular season conference schedule. You didn't have to play the Cupcake Factory in non-con. They're going to mess this thing up. I know it. You know it too if you love college football. That's all they've done is mess things up. They messed things up for our grandparents. They messed things up for our parents. And now they're messing things up for us. They're bad at it. The people that are supposed to know about college football, they don't know anything about it. There's nothing in the history of the sport that should lead you to believe that these people have what is in the best interest of the sport, or they can identify who the best teams are. They're bad. They're really bad at it. Rob, what's the argument for Indiana other than they're in the Big Ten? Do they have an argument?
Winning has to matter. It does. It is that simple. I know their schedule's relatively soft, but that's just the way it works out sometimes. Carrington, in the NFL playoffs, a team is going to win a bad division. Remember a few years ago, the Commanders won their division at 7-9, or maybe they were 7-10, 8-9. They, with Taylor Heineke, hosted a playoff game because they won their division. They hosted the eventual Super Bowl champion Buccaneers at home. The Buccaneers had a better record. The Buccaneers are a better team. But that's just the way it works. They won their division. They get the home game. Indiana is going to either go 11-1 or 12-0. Winning has to matter.
Okay, but
don't tell me about Ole Miss.
But who'd you beat? Who'd you beat?
That's not what we do for any other sport. That's not how it works.
But that's how college football always works, though. I'm with you. That's not how the NFL works, but that's how college football should work. Who'd you beat? You didn't beat anybody.
College football expanded the playoff to make sure we don't have the who'd you beat conversation anymore.
Well, then what are we doing here, then? Because it doesn't matter who you beat in college football anymore. It doesn't matter if you didn't. So you're telling me
winning matters. That's what matters. We don't do that in pro football. We don't do it in pro baseball. We don't do it in the NBA. If who's mediocre in the NBA this year?
It's because everybody makes the playoffs in those sports, and eventually you got to prove it.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen in Indiana. They're going to go 11-1 and make the playoff, and it's time to prove it. If they go 11-1 and they're the 7th seed and host Bama and beat Bama, everyone will be like, fine, cool.
Agreed.
But they deserve a chance to get that because they did their job in the regular season.
Let me ask you a question. Tomorrow, if Indiana played Ole Miss at a neutral site, who would you pick?
I think I saw a line was like -3.5 for Ole Miss. I would pick Indiana.
Are you picking them against Alabama, neutral site?
No.
You picking them against Georgia, neutral site?
No.
Are they better than Tennessee?
Yes. Oh, who's playing quarterback for Tennessee?
Their normal quarterback, the one that played on Saturday.
Because
the one that just played.
They've had some injury issues, and I know the committee loves to penalize people for injury issues. I'm with you on Boise State.
And to be fair, though, I don't want to make it seem like they're the only team that's in this conversation. Someone said, look at Texas's schedule. Texas hasn't beaten anybody either. That's what I'm saying is the problem that is going to keep popping up when you have these mega conferences is you're just going to avoid. There's going to be teams that make it, and we're not going to know if they're good or not. They just got the right random schedule for the year, right? That's what's going to happen. They're going to get the right random schedule for the year. Indiana won the schedule lottery, and Ohio State didn't. Ohio State had to play Oregon this year. Ohio State had to play Indiana this year. Ohio State had to go on the road and play Penn State this year. Now, I think Ohio State's going to make the playoff, but you get what I'm saying. One team in their conference actually had to play real people, and Indiana's had the ability to avoid all of the tough matchups this year. That can't be what the committee rewards.
Well, then we need to break up super conferences.
I don't disagree with you.
That is the easiest path to fix the problem. And I don't know who it was. It was Andy Staples. It was one of the college football reporters said, you know, that they're looking at this new world order in 2030 where everyone breaks away and does their own thing. Good. Because the Big Ten carrying 18 is the problem here. Indiana's mistake was their non-con. I will not argue about their non-con. It was bad. By the way, Ohio State's non-con was also horrible, but that's neither here nor there. But Indiana is not in charge of building their own conference schedule. The conference schedule makers did that, and they didn't. They gave Indiana a break, and they gave Ohio State a bad trip. They also gave Penn State a break, too, by the way. Penn State played one game this year of note,
and they lost.
And they're going to go 11-1, and no one's ranting and raving about them. It's because Indiana's not a name brand. We need to break up super conferences, and some of this problem will take care of itself.
Yeah, no, I think we just need to do, I mean, if they're going to mimic the NFL, then they just need to mimic the NFL, and the Big Ten needs its own version of the playoff then.
Or the Big Ten, it shouldn't be the three power four. There should be, the NFL has eight divisions. There shouldn't be four for college football.
Someone on the text line says, CDOT, you were happy about MU having a seemingly easily scheduled because they could make the playoff. Yeah. I mean, we all know, I mean, Indiana's probably going to make the playoff. Because of the easy schedule, every year there's going to be a Missouri. There's going to be a team that we're not really sure if they're good or not, but they got the right schedule. So, yeah, if you're saying that I thought Missouri was going to be Indiana this year, absolutely. I thought Missouri had a chance to be Indiana. They weren't going to beat anybody, but they were going to have enough wins to make the college football playoff. Is that the system that we want college football playoff to be? Like, we are seeing it happen now in real time right in front of us. That's Indiana this year. They have not beat a single good team. Indiana would be the fourth best team in the Big 12 this year. BYU is better than them. Colorado is better than them. If they don't have an on the road against K-State on their schedule. They don't have an on the road against Kansas on their schedule. Kansas right now would be better than any team that Indiana's beat so far this season. The Kansas that is currently playing right now is better than any team they've beaten so far this season. That team's going to make the college football playoff? Okay. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, I have been holding on to a hot take. I will share it with you. Keep it right here, Mr. Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I want to tell you guys something that's really, really important. And I tell you guys all the time that I really don't care what you eat. We have fun about it, but some of you guys take this way more seriously than I take it. But this might be the exception. It really might be the exception. And I want you to know that this part is true. All the other times were for jokes. This time is not for jokes, and this is very serious. Some of you live in Kansas City, Missouri. Kansas City, Missouri, the home of barbecue. Great barbecue. Some of you live in suburbs of Kansas City, Missouri that also have incredible barbecue. People come from out of town and the first thing that they want to do is eat barbecue. I was having dinner one time with the social media manager for Joe's KC, and he said, you know, the way that people go to Napa Valley for wine, that's what people come to Kansas City for, because they want to eat at, you know, three or four of the barbecue restaurants. And I was like, man, I never thought about it like that. Can you imagine you live here every day and you have access to some of the finest cuts of meat that God has ever put on this earth? And you drive past Gates. You drive past Q39. You drive past Joe's and you stop at McDonald's. Nothing wrong with McDonald's, but you're not getting the McChicken. You're not getting the Filet-O-Fish. You got the McRib. You drove past five or six world-class barbecue places, and you're ordering cafeteria food? No. And not just that. They are now, Rob, are putting the sauce that they put on the McRib, they're putting that in jugs and selling it. They're going to give you a gallon, not just the little, you know, the little bottle that, let's say you have a cookout and you put the kind of, you know, the little bottle of barbecue sauce on there. You might dab a little bit on your burger, spread it on your hot dog. Not those little table size. I'm talking about a gallon. They're putting a gallon of the McDonald's barbecue sauce. They're putting that in a jug and they're selling it for the holiday season. I mean this in all seriousness. If I come over your house and you have a jug of the McDonald's barbecue sauce, I'm alerting the authorities. Something's not right in this home. Something's going on and it needs to be investigated. I'm letting them in. Where's your warrant? No, I let them in. I said they can come in. Rob, you eat McRibs, man? Don't look at me and lie.
So here's the thing.
You eat a McRib? Okay, you're about to tell me a yes or you're about to lie.
Here's the thing. First and foremost, we agree. If you are buying McDonald's barbecue sauce, seek help. That's first and foremost. There's a whole section of every grocery store in Kansas City that just really good barbecue sauce. No one's buying a jug of the internet from McDonald's. And I agree with you on Kansas City being the mecca of barbecue. But I think the McRib and barbecue are two different experiences. Let's be honest.
Yeah, one's good and one's not good.
I don't think having one precludes you from doing the other. For example, you've had Taco Bell tacos in your life.
I agree.
Do you know where has the best tacos in the world? Kansas City.
Yeah.
I think it was Food & Wine magazine said the taco trail's the best tacos in Kansas City.
It's great.
And yet you've had Taco Bell, which is barely meat. Why?
I like Taco Bell.
Why did you do that?
I'm not going to let you make fun of Taco Bell.
That's the same. You got Taco Bell one time because you were like, hey, convenience, whatever.
I like it.
It gets the job done.
It's legitimately good, though.
It's not as good as San Antonio's.
No,
because
it's not.
Of course not.
That's out of the way, though.
McRib is not good. But if you're on the way home, you're like, man, I see the line at Joe's. I'm just trying to get home.
You know what?
The McRib's fine.
Hold on, though. Here,
let me pinch you good.
Let me at least try to poke a hole in this because you're making a good point. I feel like you're trying to flip the argument on me. If most of those taco places had a drive-thru, I definitely rather eat there. Taco Bell gets you because you don't got to get up. I don't got
to
do any amount of work.
Where are these barbecue places in Kansas City? They're just drive-thru palooza. McDonald's has a drive-thru. You know where it doesn't? Slaps. So it's the same.
Are you getting the McRib because you think it's good?
No, I'm getting the McRib because of convenience. It's just there. I'm at McDonald's. It's fine. The same way you get tacos at Taco Bell, you think it's fine. Clearly not as good as anywhere on the border. No one's been like, you know what, I'm going to turn down Ponax tonight to go to Taco Bell. But yes, people still do that.
Okay. You might have a good point there. I don't want to 100% concede the point, but I do feel like you're up. You're up 17-14. Let me see if I can score here, right? This would be my argument, though. This is where I think I can maybe take the lead here. I got the ball. I'm driving. If you live in Kansas City, you know what exceptional barbecue tastes like. You know what it tastes like. You've had the beef on bun at Gates. You've had the Z-Man before. You've had food from Jack Stack. You know what a barbecue sandwich should taste like. How can your taste buds, after you've had the filet mignon of barbecue, how can you go back to eating the hamburger helper of barbecue, which is the McRib? McRib is one step up from what they serve your second grader at lunch earlier today. That's what it is. It's one rung up from what they serve little Johnny. They have the little mystery meat sandwich, and they gave Johnny a little bit of applesauce, and they gave him a carton of white milk. That's what they gave. That's what your second grader had for lunch today. And you're about to go get this at the drive-in, and you're trying to tell me that it's good? No. Come on now. You got to be better. I want better for you guys. I really want better for you.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. It basically is a lunchable. But as my chance to go back up, I think for your now, I'll change the food to the analogy. You and I have both had incredible steaks.
Yeah.
We've dined together and we've been like, man, this steak is to die for.
No, we have. No, we've had some great meals together in our life.
You know what you've also done? You've also had Hamburger Helper and just gotten through. You get home on a Tuesday night and you're like, I don't want to do anything.
Okay.
I'll just throw a frozen pizza in the oven.
That's fair. But I'm saying is,
but there's a convenience that you're willing to accept, and that's why the McRib exists. I would prefer the burn in at Gates, no doubt. But Gates is on the way home. McRib is, and it just, it's suitable.
Okay, but I'm now looking at the McDonald's menu. They have the Big Mac on there. 2 all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onion on a sesame seed bun. They have the quarter pounder there. They have the chicken nuggets there. You're telling me now I have a taste for the 9th best thing on the McDonald's menu? That's what I got a taste for? Doesn't make sense to me. No, if I'm that down bad for barbecue, I just don't need to be here. I don't need to be here. I need to be somewhere else. This is not the place for me to go. This is not the place for me to be. I'm reading the text line right now, and the text line, you guys love the McRib. You love it. Somebody said the McRib is good for what it is. You don't go get it thinking you're getting the Q39 burnt-in burger. What is it then? You tell me, what are you ordering the McRib for? And tell me why the Big Mac couldn't satisfy that. Why the quarter pounder couldn't satisfy that. Just get you 10 nuggets of fry, get you a Sprite, and go on about your day. How can you eat Gate sauce and Joe's sauce and Jack Stack sauce, and now you want to eat McDonald's barbecue sauce? No, thanks. No. I refuse to put that in my temple. I refuse to put that in my body. You deserve to be in the bathroom later today, stomach sounding like Dougie Fresh. You deserve it. You deserve all the penalties that come with eating the McRib at 43 years old. You know you shouldn't be eating that nonsense. Text line saying you beat me that segment. That's not going to happen a lot, so mark this down.
I get so few. I'm pretty happy about that one.
No, text line saying you got me. Text line is defending the McRib. You know what? I get fooled every single day. I don't even want to talk about what we were going to talk about anymore. You guys have upset me. I don't want to talk about it. You know what? Why don't we do this? Eli Manning is going to go into the Hall of Fame first ballot, and we all know he shouldn't. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.